The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors, and all these things were talked about through the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become? For indeed the hand of the Lord was with him." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus. I think I know why it's been raining all day today. We are celebrating the solemnity of John the Baptist, and there's only one substance you can baptize with. It's water, right? So I think it's a great reminder of our baptism here, these showers, and I'm sure the farmers are very happy about it. And besides the humidity, at least it's not too hot today. Anyways, I want to first of all thank all of you for coming out tonight to celebrate my 25th anniversary of ordination to the priesthood on this solemnity of the birth of John the Baptist. It's great to see so many members of our parish here and also my family gathered here as well in the front pew. And so it's great to have all of you here. And I'm just very deeply moved and full of gratitude and thanksgiving today for these 25 years of priesthood. Before I comment on that, though, just a bit about this wonderful solemnity. It's interesting, the birth of John the Baptist. He's the only saint we celebrate his birth of in the church. And he's the great and the last prophet who prepared the way of the Lord. And really, that's what we are all called to be. Men and women who prepare the way of the Lord, who through our own witness of our lives and our own witness to the good news, help others to hear and to know that Jesus is the Messiah, to point him out and to reflect him in our hearts and lives. And just reflecting too on John the Baptist and how he first came to meet Jesus, it's very interesting. Was two unborn children. It was during the visitation when Mary came pregnant with Jesus and greeted Elizabeth. We are told that John the Baptist leapt in her womb. And he leapt because he experienced Jesus. He leapt, and we are told he leapt for joy. He leapt for joy. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and so was John. And the church believes that at that moment he was actually sanctified in the womb because he was being prepared for this great mission to become the precursor, the voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." But I just, that image of John meeting Jesus, two unborn children, how fitting to call that to mind today when so many people in our society don't recognize the humanity of the unborn child. And to the whole theme of joy. In fact, the prayers, I noticed the prayers of the Mass are filled with joy. This is a joyful celebration. And John the Baptist, sometimes we think he was a very rugged guy because he lived in the wilderness and he ate locusts and wild honey and he dressed with, you know, these camel hairs, and he was kind of like a maybe even a bit of a frightening figure, and certainly his call to repentance was a pretty strong call, right? But I'm sure he was a man filled with great joy. Great, great joy. Because he already had experienced Jesus. He knew him, and that's why years later, although they probably met on an annual basis, you know, as well as cousins, you know, But when Jesus finally came to be baptized, he knew that this was indeed the Messiah, the Lamb of God. And he was able to point him out. And that must have been a great day of rejoicing for John. And so too our experience, and I could say this in my own life, my experience of priesthood has been filled with great joy. To know the Lord, who is the source of life, of love, of joy. There's no greater happiness. One of my favorite scriptures, I've quoted it many times, but I'll quote it again today on my anniversary, which I already came across as a teenager in my high school years, having had a strong conversion experience already at that time, was from Paul's letter to Philippians, chapter 3, when he says this, "I believe nothing can happen that will outweigh the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Nothing will outweigh the advantage. For him, I've accepted the loss of everything, and I look on everything as so much rubbish. If only I can have Christ and be given a place in him. I'm no longer trying for perfection by my own efforts, the perfection that comes from the law, but I want only the perfection that comes through faith in Christ and is from God and based in faith. All I want is to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and to share his sufferings by reproducing the pattern of his death. That is the way I can hope to take my place in the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've become perfect yet. I have not yet won, but I'm still running, trying to capture the prize for which Christ Jesus captured me. Isn't that a cool way of describing it? He's been captured by the Lord, and now he's running to capture Jesus in turn. That's all he wants. That's the goal. That's the prize. That's the gold medal. That's what he will sacrifice all for. Because when he encountered the Lord, it made all the difference. And that's always been the case with all the great saints. Once they come to know the Lord, they know they have found what they're looking for. There was a poster again I came across in high school. And a beautiful kind of nature image and a man standing, you know, in a beautiful sunset or whatever, and his arms raised. It was kind of a distant figure. But it's the quote underneath that captured it all. He says, "I found what I wanted when I found the Lord." And that's really what I can say. It's so true. I found the deepest source of happiness in my life when I found the Lord. Now, that's actually before even the call to priesthood. All of us, the Lord wants us to discover him and to meet him and to encounter him. And by the way, that's the word Pope Francis is using all the time, right? To encounter. What he's meaning is to experience, to really experience Jesus, person to person, to know him. To know him is to love him. To know him is to realize we found the pearl of great price, the treasure hidden in the field. And that's, again, the Lord gave me that grace as a teenager. And then the call to the priesthood was a wonderful call to live out this vocation and to really have the Lord as the primary focus of my life and then to proclaim him to others. It's been a great joy to be a priest. It's been a great happiness. I was thinking about that. You know, what are the happiest moments in my life? What are the moments of most profound sense of fulfillment for me personally? It's the Mass. It's celebrating the Mass. And even at the Mass, what moments? Well, certainly the moment of the consecration, when through the words that I speak, which are not me, it's the Lord now consecrating through me, through the gift of priesthood that he's given me, through his own priesthood. But when I speak those words and this humble piece of bread and humble wine is changed into his body and blood, and I get to raise him up for all of us to gaze upon and to adore, there's nothing like it. And that's not to say every single time I feel the same powerful emotion, but many, many times I experience profound sense of fulfillment. This is what my life was meant to be. This is what I want. And the other moment is after communion, when I sit down and in that moment of silence, and especially with all of you here, just communing with the Lord now, knowing I've received him once again in his body, blood, soul, and divinity, and just communing with him, I just feel this incredible sense of fulfillment, of contentment, of peace. And even with all of us, I just feel that we are one body. One body now. We are united. Jesus is here. We've all received him into our hearts. What else is worth doing? What else? This is it. We've reached the summit, as the church says about the Eucharist. It's the source and the summit of our life. This is the moment of summit. And yes, there's so much more to our lives, but these moments, again, are precious. Just like in every vocation, my call is priesthood. For those who are married, there's precious moments, hopefully, of great fulfillment and great intimacy and great communion in your marriages and in your family life, and happiness in that, or in religious life as well. But as a priest, our vocation is to share in the Jesus, who's the bridegroom and who is, the church is his bride. And so we are wedded to the bride of Christ. That is our marriage. We're married men too. We've been spoken for. And we have our bride. And we find our fulfillment in that. And I can truly say I have found that. And the joy again, and I realize that I've been even more inspired by Pope Francis to not hide that joy, to let that light shine. And I know many people have said that about me, is that one of the things they see joy. And I realize I'm not always joyful, but the thing is, there is a lot of joy in my life. And it does come from the peace and freedom and the love I feel in my faith and the fulfillment I have in that. And that joy ultimately comes from the Holy Spirit. Remember, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and John the Baptist filled it, and he leapt for joy. And I love to leap for joy too. And I hope we all do as we encounter the Lord. And there's always more. That's the beauty of this. There's always more. There's always a deeper encounter, a deeper experience that we can have of Jesus in our hearts and in our lives, and of the peace and the fulfillment that he brings. And I would encourage all of us to pursue him, to seek him. Like St. Paul, I'm still running, trying to capture the prize for which Christ Jesus captured me. All I want is to know Christ. I consider everything else rubbish to knowing the Lord. He's real, he's alive. And he is the living God in the flesh. The other scripture, again, I've quoted it many times, but I was thinking about my favorite scriptures, and a lot of them, they've been with me for my whole walk with the Lord, is Psalm 63. And we pray it as priests in our breviary every time on Sunday, and every solemnity, we pray Psalm 63. And just the part of it, I'll just quote part of it, but it's so beautiful. Oh God, you are my God. For you I long. For you my soul is thirsting. My body pines for you like a dry, weary land without water. To gaze on you in the sanctuary. For your love is better than life. My lips will speak your praise. So I will bless you all my life. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul shall be filled as with a banquet. My mouth shall be filled with joy. And that again sums it up. That passion, that fire of God's love burning in our hearts, which is the gift of his Holy Spirit. And it's how we can encounter Jesus. And my prayer for all of you is that we would all come to know the Lord and experience him even more deeply in our hearts and lives. And yes, like St. Paul, I can say, I have not yet won. I'm still very far very imperfect, very weak. But all I know is that Jesus loves me. He died for me. He's already forgiven me. And when I fall and when I'm weak, all I need to do is turn to him. And he's there. He's always there. I can count on him. He's never let me down. And so to conclude, I just want to share again this beautiful little prayer that I came across many years ago in high school. And then I lost it. I had it somewhere in one of my journals, and I lost touch with it, and I found it online again. And now I've got it saved in the cloud. I'll never lose it again. And I just want to share this with you because it's a prayer that I try to pray throughout the day, and I've shared this with you before. The very simple prayer that we can say throughout the day that gives the greatest pleasure. I believe that these three words, or four words, are what give the greatest pleasure to God when we pray them with a sincere heart. And I just, therefore, I love to say them because I know he loves to hear them. And so this is how it goes. Jesus, how often I think that I'm too busy to pray. My days are overloaded. And yet, Jesus, you surely don't expect me to be so preoccupied. How could I not have the time to think of you? You are always at my side. Jesus, you alone are my strength, my courage, my support. Therefore, I want to make a habit, Jesus, of speaking to you as a friend, to confide my joys and sorrows. And so from the bottom of my heart, I want to say simply, Jesus, I love you. When I'm tired, help me still to say, Jesus, I love you. And when I find it hard to forgive, I need only to repeat, Jesus, I love you. And when darkness comes on me and I don't know where you are, I will call on you and say, Jesus, I love you. My daily task will become easier, and my work will become a prayer which says, Jesus, I love you. What trouble can shake me? What suffering can overcome me if I can always repeat, Jesus, I love you. For the joys you give me, for the graces you shower on me, my thank you will always be, Jesus, I love you. And simply to please you, for no other reason, let me often say, Jesus, I love you. And when the evening of my life comes and you invite me home, let me say for one last time here below, Jesus, I love you. And when you call me for judgment, be merciful, Lord, because you know how many times I have said, Jesus, I love you.